You're listening to the Chapman Cast, a podcast about religion and life.
Welcome to the Chapman Cast. My name is Pierce, and today I'm joined by Curtis Childs. Curtis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Pierce. Thanks for having me here. I am enjoying, and this is going to sound superficial, but the weather makes a big difference. And we'll talk about it a little more, I guess, probably in the future. But for it to finally be sunny and warm makes a big difference in the chemical makeup of my brain and all that, and just helps me to chill out. And also with the sort of the change of the seasons, you kind of get old feelings that you'd forgotten about that I feel like cycle around once every season. On my way walking over here, I was crossing the intersection, and man, did it smell like a carnival, you know? Something about the gas from the cars or something. It was a good memory. So brought that back. I'm in a pretty good state of mind, and I'm very, very honored to be here on your show. So how are you today?
I'm doing great. I completely agree with you on the weather. If it's bright and warm, it is wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about a video that you posted in a talk that you've given about something called head bullies. What is a head bully?
Head bully is a term that I use to describe your internal detractor. It's a phenomenon that I think everybody has in place to a certain extent, and a surprisingly high number of people have it to a major extent. It is all the negative emotions you feel about yourself. And this comes up in common speech all the time. Oh, I'm so stupid that I did that. Oh, I couldn't do that right. Oh, I can't believe I did this. I'm not cool. I'm not good. Everything that is attacking you from the inside, and another way to put it is everything that if somebody was saying it to you that wasn't you, you know, they would be a bully. If you were in elementary school, they'd go to the principal's office, right? Or if we were adults, it would be called harassment. But it comes from inside. So it's just a really curious phenomenon that has caused a lot of stress and pain in my life and in the lives of a lot of people. My close friends have had a lot of struggles with this, and the more and more people I talk to, the more I find it's widespread. So head bully is this weird ghost thing that somehow has access to our internal channels and is often not even constructively critical of us as people. That's what a head bully is.
So can you give me an example of a head bully?
Yes. I deal with them so often that it's hard to pick one initial example. I would say that sometimes it just comes in the form of ambient negative anticipation. Like, you will have an event coming up or something like that, and you just kind of get pictures of it in your mind with negative emotion around it. You know, just basically, if it was phrased in words, it would be, this is going to go bad, or you're going to be miserable at this point. But it just comes to you, and it just comes like a little wave. When you actually get to the event, it's nothing like that. And then there's your own head chatter, especially what memories are brought up when. You know, sometimes it can come in the form of memory recall. Like, you will be sitting there and a negative memory, whether it's something that's happened to you earlier in the day or something that's happened to you like last week, it will continually present itself. Like, remember this? Remember this? If you got humiliated in public, you know, like if you were in a group, somebody said something that, you know, hurt your feelings, and you feel like other people thought you were less because of that, and you just get that replayed over and over and over. It can come like that. It can also come with interpretations of situations. Like this one time when I had a distinct impression that there was somebody who didn't think I was cool, that I was kind of meeting, you know, and I just was really like, oh, and I was getting that internal message pretty clearly. And later I found out that they had told someone else that they thought I was awesome. And so why is that there? Why would you get that negative impression? It wasn't reality flooding in. I think that we sort of sometimes feel like, oh, the things that go through our mind are just reality flooding in. But I don't think we really have a tap into reality. I think we have a couple of news channels that they can come in, and a lot of them have a negative bias towards us and aren't really reflecting real events as much as their agenda for us, which is to make us unhappy.
I can relate to that, especially the idea that I think I know what's really going on, and I know on reflection that I don't. I have a horribly inaccurate view of reality. And it's interesting to think that so often that inaccurate view is destructive. What can we do about it? Like, if I've got these thoughts that come in, and I'm pretty sure they're right, that somebody doesn't like me, or that I can't do something, or I'm going to fail. I mean, obviously, I'm emotionally attached to these things. how do I deal with that? How do I even begin to approach that since I'm not even in that mindset to think critically about it?
Well, a good mindset to cultivate is that nothing evil is true. Even if you're certain that somebody doesn't like you and they also happen to not like you, it's still your internal feed that's making you miserable about them not liking you comes with hidden assumptions. And this is a big part of the head bullying. There's an assumption that comes just below your consciousness that you can look down at that says, they don't like you and for good reason, or they don't like you and that's an okay way for them to be. When the true reality of it is, if they don't like you, it's because they're in a dysfunction that eventually they'll get out of. Part of it is just to be like, you know, things that are hurting my feelings aren't true. Even though, you know, you can't be 100% sure that's always true, but my gut is that's a healthier way to approach things. It's funny, just this morning I was reading Emanuel Swedenborg, and it was in the book Divine Providence. I've been absolutely fascinated by Swedenborg, and a major reason is the head bullies. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in Swedenborg's thought, but really one of the pillars of the whole thing is this idea that our thoughts come from external sources. And that at first seems really counterintuitive, but through my experience with well over half a decade now of intense head bullying, it really makes me wonder, because it doesn't make any sense that something inside me is this antagonistic to me. So he talks about everything comes through other people, through the spiritual world, right? He's saying that he had this experience where he began to sense that, like, tangibly. He would feel something, a negative impulse, enter him. I don't just mean negative impulses like, oh, I want to steal that cookie. There can be kind of this caricature that, like, evil, the head bully force, is just trying to get you to do bad things. But they want you miserable. I mean, that's the bottom line. And especially if you don't do bad things, they will settle for making you miserable in the moment. So anyway, if something bad comes into your head, something about negative about you or something not true, that he would be able to say, to be able to see the source of it, you know, and it originated in whatever, these spirits that were around him in other people's minds who thought like that and could just filter it into his. And he would be able to ask this question. He'd be able to ask, where is it coming from? But I just found just today, when something comes in, it, like, some complex negative interpretation of the events of my life will just spill into my mind all of a sudden. And it gets an emotional response from me, makes me feel negatively. And just to be like, where is this coming from? That is an important distancing measure. To say, where is this coming from, as your first response, rather than buy into it or believe it. Very Buddhist, the whole thing of, you know, separate from your ego.
It reminds me of mindfulness, which is sort of a therapy and a meditation method. But I think it's also just a good way of living for myself. And that is, when thoughts enter your mind or when you have a feeling, to just be aware of it. To just check in and say, yes, I had that thought. But that doesn't mean that that thought defines me. I am not that thought. I don't have to own it. So if something comes in and says, Pierce, you're stupid, you will never succeed, I can say, okay, that's one opinion. Is that true? Or as you would say, is that even good? Is that helping me out?
Absolutely. Pierce, you're stupid, you will never succeed. What would say that? What, I mean, how does it make sense biologically for your brain to say to you, you're stupid, you'll never succeed? That I can understand, it's like, you're not getting your food, go do that, you know, but to just chronically try to pick you apart, so stupid. I sort of feel like I'm on a little mission to educate people to be really skeptical of their minds, because not only are our thoughts divorced from reality, but they are malicious towards us. Everybody gets this crap from hell, and it's like they have to deal with it. And I'm frustrated because I've had to deal with it so much myself. So if I see somebody's mind pulling something over on them, I really just want to be like, don't listen to it. Like, get rid of it. That's not you.
My sister often reminds me, she did it first when I got engaged, and then she reminded me again when I was betrothed, and then again when I got married. And now she's just reminded my wife and I again, because we're about to expect a baby. She said, watch out. The best times in life are when the hells are out to get you the most. And this is when they're going to attack your relationship, your marriage, your belief in God. Don't listen to it. But it really helps to have someone outside myself remind me, because otherwise I'd just get blindsided by this. You know, I'd be having a great day and suddenly I get mad at my wife and I'd have no idea why. That's because I'm in this great place with my wife. And that's when I think we get attacked the most.
Totally. To have an external source communicate the information to you is essential because the internal stream is pretty corrupt. Something has access to it. But having a conversation with somebody can introduce thoughts into your mind that wouldn't have been there. Back to your question before of how do you deal with something when it comes in and you're emotionally attached to it. I have a couple email accounts, you know, and I have one, it's an AOL account from a long time ago that I check very rarely. And so I was clearing it out. I had like 200 something emails in there. One was an email from my mom that I had gotten at another address, but I forwarded it to my AOL address because I wanted to keep it. And I was just clearing it out today. And she was talking about the movie A Beautiful Mind, which is one that I've found pretty spiritual. In the movie, Russell Crowe's character is schizophrenic, and he has these hallucinations of people, and they're not real, and he can barely see around that. But even when he does realize, oh, these aren't real, they don't go away. They're in his face, and like, I am real. But he realizes, oh, this little girl never gets older. They're not real people. But it's not like they dissipate and go away. They're always there, and they're hassling him and trying to pull on his emotions to believe in them. My mom was saying, yeah, that even if your negative feelings, negative thoughts aren't going to go away, you can learn to live with them and learn how to deal with them and just to be at peace with the fact that they're there and they're always going to be there, you know, until whatever, you can somehow cut the network cable, you know, but I don't know how to do that. I just expect that they're there, and we can't really decide what the internal landscape is like, you know, or what's going to be fed to us on any given moment.
I was talking to Dr. Sinsvet for another Chapman cast, and he was pointing out how fallible we all are. We're all finite. We're not perfect. And how important that is when dealing with doubt. And that reminding yourself that you're not going to have the perfect understanding of anything. And so knowing that I'm not always going to get it right kind of frees me up to say, maybe I'm wrong about myself. Maybe I'm wrong when I have horrible thoughts about somebody else. Like if I get really upset about my wife because she didn't leave the seat up or down or whatever, I can say, well, wait a minute. Is that even a useful thought? Is that even accurate? Does that even matter? The hells want me to think I have to be perfect. And that if I'm not, there's something wrong with me.
Absolutely. I think that the toehold, if you will, or the handle that the ad bullies, the hells can grab onto is your sense of, I should be able to know the full truth about things right now. That's a very vulnerable thing. If we have that, because it's easily deceived. If you believe, in this moment, I should be able to grasp the truth about everything. It's very, very easy for thoughts to worm their way in with just slightly false interpretations of things that lead you to really negative conclusions about stuff. That's why the best thing you can do when confronted with a thought, or like sometimes you get presented with problems, like, what about this about life? You can't solve that. That means life is this. The best thing to do is just be like, wow, I'm getting that thought, but I'm also sitting here in this room. I'm not going to rethink about it until 10 minutes from now. And if it's important, it will come back. You know, before meditations, they'll sometimes say, let go of your thoughts. If they're important, they'll return. If you have something come to you, don't do it on its terms. You know, say, okay, maybe I'll have room for you later in my schedule. And a lot of the times, that can avoid the whole confrontation because I'm also very fascinated by thought streams and why do we get the certain thoughts that we do when we get them. I remember one time I was deep in this interpreting my life, you know, interpreting a narration on my life, sort of thinking I know the meaning behind things and this is sort of what I am. And certain troubling thoughts were coming to me and I was just realizing, yeah, so I just had that thought now and that led me to a conclusion about my life. But if somebody had honked their horn when they were going by, my entire thought stream would have changed. So the thoughts that come to us are more happenstance than they seem. It's not like the only real thought that could have come then. So take them lightly. Like we were saying, the weather, what food you ate that morning, it all predisposes you to certain levels of negativity or positivity. The more you can hold things lightly, the better off you are. Yeah, you got to use your rationality. You can't avoid problems in life, that kind of stuff. But don't be doing it all the time and hold things lightly. If you don't take a stand and say, I can know everything right now, you become a moving target. And it's a lot harder to peg you down and force you to accept these negative beliefs about yourself and life.
I think often as Christians, I'm taught that I should forgive my neighbor, especially those who have trespassed against me. The idea there is that people have faults and I can't dwell on them and hold them as anger that's going to destroy me. But that also means I have to forgive myself. I'm going to have these bad thoughts. That's okay. What do I do with them is a different question. And even if I make mistakes, that's not the end of the game. To think that anything I do in life, I can sort of take a little bit lightly. I can say, whoa, this isn't everything.
Yeah, guilt is a big one too. I'm fascinated. Swedenborg says that hell, their primary joy of their life is to accuse people of evil. You know, which is very, very interesting that it's not to get people to do evil. The thing they're really after is to get you feeling miserable about what you've done. And nobody that I know who struggles with head bullies doesn't also feel very guilty. And it's just interesting that they're both coming from that same source. And Swedenborg talks about how evil spirits will push you to do something and then make you feel bad because you did it. I feel very sympathetic towards people in general. I feel like we're all under this sort of oppressive regime, internal regime. I was playing Half-Life 2 last night. I downloaded it on my computer, which is just like this video game, and it starts and you're in this like futuristic world where aliens pretty much have people living in our civilization, you know, but under their rule. It's really totalitarian regime. That's what it's like inside us. There's these head bullies that are in there just kind of pushing everybody around. The message I would like to leave with everybody is you're cooler than you think you are. You're better than you think you are. Life is better than you think it is. And take things lightly. It's going to be okay. Most people I know are pretty good about checking themselves to make sure they're not hurting other people. I think the next place we all really need to focus on is just take it easy on ourselves, because that's another way for hell to win. It's for you to live a miserable life, you know, and to keep you from your full potential through this continual bullying. So thanks very much for having me.
And thank you, Curtis, for joining us on the Chapman Cast. Hope to have you on again. And thank you, listeners, for listening to another episode of the Chapman Cast.
Content on the Chapman Cast is owned by its hosts and interview guests. Find us online at newchurchperspective.com/chapmancast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a positive review on iTunes and tell your friends. We welcome your feedback in the comments section of the website. Thank you for listening.